Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 508. It's a live stream. It's the 24th of January, 2024. And we're back in it. We missed last week because I was moving. As you can see, I got a nice, instead of my nice sign, I have like a room with plants and has a woman's touch. Let's just say that much. Speaking of a woman, kind of, let's welcome Anna Hummel into the stream.
A woman no one asked for. That's what I feel like most of the time.
No.
Hello, Will. Congratulations on the move.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been good.
I want to. I'm not going to ask you for it now because I feel like it's too invasive. But I do want to get like a virtual house tour.
Oh yeah. You know, I meant to do that before I moved out. I did move out of St. Petersburg. I'm a Pinellas Park man now, and it's great. It's great. No, Pinellas Park is where it's at. I tell you though, it is commuting this, you know, a county. I guess the Tampa Bay area in general, we've had an influx in population over the past, you know, what, since COVID, a couple of years. And you could tell on the roads, there's people on the roads all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock. When's a good time to go out? 11 a.m. There's traffic. There's traffic all the time.
Okay.
And, you know, now I'm in Pinellas Park, but I'm working a new job. Like I had this crazy like life swing that happened, and I kind of like it because it was just like everything at once kind of happened. From what my life was in 2023 to what it is in 2024 has changed dramatically. So I moved to Pinellas Park. I moved in with my long-term female companion. This is her place.
You went to South Carolina 3 times in 3 weeks.
What's that?
You went to South Carolina 3 times in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I did a lot of traveling, but that's what I started off 2024 strong. I started a new job that I will tell you about shortly here. I think there's some things that are entertaining about it. And I guess that's it. That's the big three. But not only am I keeping or starting a new job, I'm keeping my other day job. So I'm doing what's called, there's a word for it. I can't remember it. I'm just working multiple jobs at once.
Is overlapping?
It's like hacking or something is what I'm doing. Yeah. So it's a low skilled entry level position where I'm basically in a call center, but I'm at home. It's a remote setting. So that's all right. That's pretty good. But I'm still trying to keep up with this other job too. And then having the mailbox that we get, we have a PO box that we get documents and checks and all that stuff in. And that is in St. Petersburg. And it was about 5 to 7 minutes away from my old apartment. So it really wasn't that big a deal to, you know, pop out, you know, go to Publix. There's a Publix in that where the mailbox is too, grab a sandwich, you know, go back, eat it leisurely at my own pace, and then go back to work. Now I'm like, this is another remote job, but it's one of those ones that they monitor everything that you do. You got to be on a webcam. You have to clock in and clock out for your lunch. And your lunch is 30 minutes and they add it to your day. I don't even want the 30 minutes. I don't want the 30 minute lunch. Don't give it to me. I want that 30 minutes at the end of the day that I can leave at 5. No, you got to leave at 5:30 because you have a lunch that goes by way too fast.
What time do you start? 9 a.m.?
Right now it's 9. Yeah. It's 9 to 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a big change all at once. I'm trying to, it was very stressful too, just trying to get all your stuff in. And I felt like I was on a time clock because I wanted to be in and settled into the new studio / office where I'm doing my work in that amount of time. So it was very stressful. Even over the holidays, I feel like I really didn't get to enjoy Christmas because it was just nonstop traveling and thinking about this huge life changes and then moving. Remember I told you that I think I could move my place in 3 minutes?
I don't know if you said 3 minutes, but we both have talked about how we could be out of our place in a day.
Yeah, I don't think that was true. Somehow I've accumulated so much stuff over the years that it took, I mean, I didn't work on it consistently for, you know, the whole day, but I would do little things a few hours, and it took like a few weeks to really get in and get out.
You could have done it in a day or two if you really hard. But you did it, like you said, at a leisurely pace. Was that less stressful that way?
Kind of, but also I just wanted it, like, my personality type is
over with. Because then you're like, oh, I don't have it because it's at the other house.
Yes.
And then everything's divided, and that's annoying. I would rather just get it all done in one big bang.
Yeah.
But that is also, you know, very stressful. Moving is among one of the worst tasks. You know, 'cause it's not like everything else stops. It's not like you can just not go to work for a week or, you know, you don't have to feed yourself or go to the gym or any of your other responsibilities. You have to now move your life in addition to living your life. And it's annoying.
Yeah. It sucked, but you know, it's done now. And now it's just kind of getting used to this new schedule and my new, just surroundings, you know, in here. I'm familiar with where I live now. Obviously it's my lady's, you know, was her house. So I'm familiar with, you know, the layout and everything, but it's just, you know, getting used to a new spot is going to take some time. So it's all kind of happening at once. It's very stressful, but,
I think it's exciting.
It is. No, you know, it is. It's good.
I feel like we could tell ourselves stress, excitement, but it's really the story that we tell ourselves. I heard that somewhere. But I kind of like that, a fresh start, and it corresponds with a new year. I think, which just kind of helps your brain be like, okay, reset. You know, you went on like a 3 week sabbatical to all of the places: Key West, South Carolina, Amelia Island, South Carolina. And then you come back, you move, start a new job, new year, new you. And if my math is correct, which it always is, this is a big year for you.
Yeah. This is my 40th year. I'm well into my 40th year right now as a person on the planet.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of cool that all coincides in 1 year.
It is. Right? It is. It's kind of fitting. It kind of feels like it's a good round number. It's a solid, you know, divisible by 10 type of number. People like those. So I feel like that kind of works well. Will says, I can't believe that Will left the Johnny B and Will show. I can't either, kind of, but you know what?
I didn't know there was a Johnny B and Will show.
What's that?
I didn't know there was a Johnny B and Will show.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. That was the problem. That was the main reason. That was the main reason that I left, Will. And I do miss everybody over there. It's weird. Like, I can't believe that people who listen to the radio, there's so many of them that just cannot make the jump to online. I mean, I kind of get it, but also it's so easy. It's just go to the website I tell you to go to and watch this stuff or download. Do you have a podcast app? I know you do. Like, why can't you just get there? I don't get it.
Well, when you kind of work for a big station like The Bone, you kind of have a built-in audience, you know? So, and people are very stuck in their ways. Like, even if I look at the things, if people are like, well, do this and go to Spotify instead of Apple Podcasts. And I'm like, ugh, two more buttons, get out of here. So if it's bad enough for us millennials, I can only imagine for, you know, the Xers and the boomers, they're just even more stuck in their ways. So I don't know. And people like the brand. They like a brand that they know. They know 1025 The Bone, you know, so it's hard to like get on your own, build up a brand and market yourself by yourself.
Well, I know that The Bone, for example, is really trying to push the app because that is the future. I mean, whether you like it or not, the radio is not going bye-bye by any means. But, you know, we're living in a digital space now and in a digital world and trying to get people, you know, with
their digital girl.
Yes, that's right. They're trying to get people to download the app to win prizes, and like they're really pushing it. Fortunately, their app sucks. The Bone app is garbage.
You would
garbage.
Think that they would try to invest a little bit, because it was bad when I was there 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it hasn't improved much, and you'd think that they would really want to put a lot of money behind that to make that smooth and user-friendly so that, like you said, you can kind of have that transition.
Yes. Yeah. Technically, I'm still employed there. I still do the Saturday show on the Bone at 10 a.m. So I'm just going to say that there's room for improvement. And I think a lot of people who work there would say that too. So I don't know. Joe made the jump. Thank you, Joe. That's smart. You should.
Joe can't walk. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Joe, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's Holyoke Joe. What's up, Joe? I'm just teasing. But yes, Joe, I guess, is not very tech savvy. He's a big Bubble listener. He's listening on the air, and now and he's a digital guy. He's YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and if he can use Rumble, anybody can use Rumble.
Right.
Okay,
that's right. This program's on Rumble too. I think it's getting have it scheduled to go out with the YouTube upload, but I'm not sure. Yeah, look, Mike from St. Pete, he noticed your haircut. Anna told me before she started, she goes, "You didn't even notice my haircut." She didn't really give me an opportunity to answer.
Well, last time when I chopped off a good 14 inches and I was going like this, you were just like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And your girlfriend had to reach out to me and go like, what a dumbass. Like, he didn't even notice.
Listen, I got a lot going on. Okay. I don't know what to say. I introduced you. My name's Will. I used to be a radio personality. I still kind of am.
Former radio personality, Will Coots.
But now I'm an online influencer now. I content changed my creator. Title. Yeah. Yeah, Pinellas Park rules. Good food here. Way better really? Food than St. Pete.
See, such as
Pinellas Park.
I feel like Asian stuff.
Yes. Totally.
I know that there's a really good restaurant. I think it's called Bish.
Oh yeah, don't you talk about Bishna? Bishna. I don't really know how to say it, but it's a meme. It is a meme online. I've seen people take pictures outside of the sign. This location.
You gotta be kidding me.
It's located. Oh yeah, no, you didn't know that? Like, people drive all around. Oh, here's
a great one. I remember. I took a picture of it the first week I was in Florida. I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Right now? Let me present this.
You're not even screen. Dry.
Let's see. There we go.
Get us white people in trouble. We're just trying to get some pho. Goddamn.
Yeah, that's good stuff there. So the Pinellas Park's got a lot of great. A lot of great Asian, a lot of good Italian places too. The Cosmos Market is really good. It's like Mazzaro's, but Pinellas Park, and it's way less people there, which is awesome, and the food's really good. So I like that. The Sesto Italian is right there on 66th and Park. That's really good. So they get, it's like immigrants that can't afford, you know, downtown St. Pete rent. So they open up in Pinellas Park. So we got a little hub here. Of great food and great culture right here in Pinellas Park. Let's see what else we got here. Will has a question for you. I don't know. I'm hesitant to pull it up.
Good.
He says, "Was it Soul Brother Karen who got you fired?" I think alluding to Soul Brother Kevin, another former employee of the Bone.
Oh yeah, all my fan favorites have come back into my life.
Mm-hmm. Is he back?
Huh?
Is he back?
And Soul Brother Kevin?
Yeah.
I mean, I spoke to him about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Oh, that's right. He called the Bubba show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He called.
He was on with Mo and Spike and all those guys the other day on MLK Day, I think. Yeah.
Soul Brother Kevin, all of my suspicions about what happened were in fact 100% correct, even though Kevin denied them. And then when I walked him through it step by step, turns out I was right. Everyone around me that suspected the same things, we were all right based on the sources I had at the time. He didn't get me fired. He didn't have the authority to get me fired, but I suspected that he alerted the authorities that could get me fired, in which he in fact did. They alerted me. they suspended or put me in, you know, job limbo for a week, and then I was terminated. So that's what I thought happened. I didn't think he was demanding me to be fired. I think he was just like, yo, John Brennan, look what Anna wrote on Twitter. That's crazy. And sure enough, that's exactly, sorry, that's my SBA impression.
I know.
He'll probably call me racist for saying that, but remember, that's how he talks.
I'm sure.
And yeah, so that's exactly what happened. And when I questioned him about it and walked him step by step by step, in fact, that's exactly how it went down. So
that's so funny because we knew that when it happened. And
I didn't get Anna fired. And I guess like technically he didn't. I didn't think he did.
Well, this is the thing.
He alerted, you know.
This is the thing. People use semantics to get around the truth. They'll play like little, you know what you mean when you say you got me. You're the one who got me.
He didn't call me and go, you're fired, obviously. But he was the one.
That's what
it was, the first domino to fall that led to me getting fired.
So. Yeah, that's the workaround. I didn't get you fired. Yeah, but you initiated the contact with the person who got. So yeah,
correct. I mean, technically, now would it have happened anyways? Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Maybe someone else would have alerted him. Maybe he would have seen it. My suspicion is probably not. I don't think John Brennan was looking at my Twitter. I mean, he had a wife and two children. I don't think he was spending time on Twitter looking at what I had to say, but it's okay. That's life. Yay.
Well, you know, I don't really know. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's just nice when you're like, I'm pretty sure this is how it went down. And then 4 years later, you're exactly correct. So that was kind of nice.
Should probably hide this. I don't want to get, oh, you put this sign up when you're talking about me. I should probably take that down just in case. I don't want to get any sort of correlation accusations going on. But well, that's funny because we did suspect that for a long time, and that turned out to be true. So
yeah,
I'm right about everything, you know, so that's not too far-fetched, I will say. Will says he misses the days of Johnny Will and Anna together. Yeah, that was fun. That was really good times.
It was a really good time. We vibed well together. I kind of weirdly miss like Ryan Adams being there and just him being Ryan Adams. And there was just like, I felt like we bonded through not understanding the person who was Ryan Adams, because he's a strange character. He's a strange man. I don't think he's a bad guy. You know, I certainly probably wouldn't be friends with him outside of radio. And, you know, I haven't remained in contact with him whatsoever. But like, he was an interesting character that I don't think I ever fully figured out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know. To me, he was just a glass of warm milk. I liked Ryan. He was fine. But he wasn't really, didn't have anything special. No pizzazz factor. Good producer.
He was friendly, kind. If you needed help, he would help you out. He was always very patient with me, and I certainly appreciated that. But yeah, just a strange guy. But you know what? I'm a strange gal. So, you know, that's cool. But he's different in a sort of way. Like, he's more of a castle guy. The thing that I think creeped me out the most a little bit with him, well, there were a few things, but he went to and again, this isn't stuff that was private. He said this on the air. He went to a nudist club resort.
Is it Caliente? Yeah, that's the famous one there.
Yeah. And then, but he wouldn't take his clothes off. I'm like, you can't do that. He was like, I didn't get naked. I'm like, you can't. Not that I was there, maybe he lied, but if you cannot go to a nudist resort and then remain clothed, well, I feel like that's predatory behavior.
I think it is by their own rules. I think it's not mandatory, believe it or not. You would think
it's not mandatory. I'm just saying that it's odd.
Well, is it odd? At
least your testicle, like, something, give me something, you know what I mean?
Just the tip, you know, just open your zipper a little bit, put the tip, throw it out there.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
I mean, that is weird. I had a friend who went that was like, I don't know if I'm gonna get nude or not. And I was like, okay, well, and I was kind of giving him the same kind of razzing about that. Like, if you go, you should probably, get
embrace the whole experience, surrender to the experience. You know what I mean?
So he got these little, which is even worse. I don't know what your feelings about it. He got these like tiny booty shorts.
Well, I know exactly who you're talking about, and oddly, like, it fits him.
Yes,
like,
that's true.
You know, if anybody else did it, I'd be like, whoa, but what the person you're speaking of, it adds up.
He's got, I call him a straight homosexual. Like, he loves women.
He's eccentric.
He's kind of, I don't know, just likes fashion and apparently booty shorts, which I didn't know, because they were not even just short, like cutoffs or anything. They were like, you know, the ones that are like super tight and then you tie them in the front, like gay guys wear those. I don't think that's a stretch.
With the laces, I don't know what you're talking about.
You got gay guy shorts, which nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that they're gay. There's shorts that gay guys wear.
Listen, I understand that's a baby step towards full nudity. So I appreciate, in the right direction.
I think he did in a pool end up taking off his little booty shorts and got nude at the club.
He ended up taking it off.
I think he did. Yeah.
Now, was the lady he was with, was she nude or did she have like a booby out or something?
Good question. I don't know.
Why don't you ask these questions?
Well, I mean, because it wasn't Kevin. Sorry, I just gave his name. It doesn't matter. I don't think he'll know. He was going through a breakup and he was like dating a lot of different women and stuff. So
the big breakup from years past.
Yes. Yeah. And that actually might've been the thing that broke him up with his girl for the final time. Cause he was kind of trying to patch things up a little bit. And then he did this thing where he was like, I'm going to be fully honest with her and things that I'm doing. So he would like tell her, yes, I went on a date and yes, I had, sexy time with this. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I just want to be, I want to be
full honesty.
That's what he felt like he needed to do to get her back. Cause he went to full disclosure, like everything that he's doing. And yes, he wasn't doing anything wrong necessarily because they were on a break. They weren't together. So it wasn't wrong what he was doing, but at the same time it was a bad move. I'm like, dude, don't do that. Like, nobody wants to hear about their ex. Some people do, I guess, getting banged. But, yeah.
They don't even have to be an ex.
Listen, right. Right. Absolutely. So he wanted to be fully upfront with her about everything that he was doing. And he told her that he went to a nudist resort. And I think it turned her like, ew, gross.
Was it that, or was that he was having sexual relations with other people?
I mean, it was probably all those things, but this was the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
Radical honesty. Mm-hmm. Let's see where that gets you. I'm all for being honest, but also not that honest.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're doing something... You didn't do anything wrong. If the person requests honesty and you give it to them, fine. And they get upset, fine. But if they are not requesting it and you're doing this because you think it's like the right thing to do, it's the more noble thing to do, I feel like you're hurting that person with knowledge, I think. If they're not asking for it. You know, it's like the difference between if I ask my boyfriend, do I look fat wearing this? And he's like, yeah. And then I get upset. Well, I brought that on myself. That's how I feel.
But obviously you say no.
Comes up to me and he's like, you look fat. That would really hurt my feelings. So.
But that, you're obviously, when a woman asks you if she looks fat in the clothes, you always say no.
You know what, Will? I've never asked that question to anyone ever. I don't know. If I'm questioning it, change. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I trust my own judgment, where I'm like, if I'm feeling fat and I'm like, have to ask somebody for a second opinion, wear something else, bitch. That's how, sorry. I don't think I
said it. No, that's fine. That's fine. Some people just handle things differently. You just need a little bit of, you know, confidence, a little bit of extra, just put your mind at easiness. And sometimes women need that. I put on clothes and I go, I look fat as crap in this. And then I go, I am. Yeah. And then I just go, oh, that's because I am. I understand what I am.
I'm fat.
And that's, you know, that's just what I do now. So
yeah,
I just can't worry about it. I got rid of so much stuff. I got rid of, like, I would say 50% of my wardrobe. I got rid of all my furniture. All my furniture was, oh, I should have asked you if you wanted any of that stuff. You have a house now. Like the chair, that brown chair that was in my place.
Oh, no. Thank you, though. Yeah,
that's what I figured. It was nothing. It was nothing good.
It was cool, but I feel like it didn't recline or anything, right? It was like a...
No, it was just like a weird...
Nice chair.
Like smoking chair. Like you smoke cigars.
Yeah, like an oddly place. I mean, I know your place wasn't very big, but... Yeah, how do you feel with more space? I know it's two of you guys, but it's certainly larger than where you were living before.
Well, I mean, I don't have any more space. Like, I got rid of all my stuff. And I do kind of like having this room. This is cool. This is kind of my man cave. And I think over time, she could probably hear. So I should probably be quiet, but maybe make it more my own, you know, the office.
Is it a two-bed?
It's a two-bedroom. I'm in the second bedroom right now, which is pretty small. And we just kind of converted it into an office. And then I kind of just took it over. I'm like, this is mine. And
she also works from home, right?
Yeah.
But you said you got to work outside or something, or?
Well, I mean, it would have probably been difficult just because, especially this new phone is, or this new job's on the phone all day. And then having somebody else talking right next to you, she's on the phone all day too, just wouldn't work. So she set up a little desk in the bedroom. So she's in the bedroom, I'm in the office, and I can kind of just shut the door. And I love the setup in here. I got so much electrical equipment that I'm afraid I'm gonna come down with some sort of like cancer or something. I don't even want to put that in the ether, but there's so many things plugged in. Like I have so many.
Yeah, there's a lot of waves, electromagnetism, whether it be from a TV or a phone or a computer.
Modems in here, two screens, three screens, three computers, a mixer, a camera. Like all these things require power for some reason. And I just have, I'm interested to see what the power bill. I know that's like a really old man thing to be concerned about, but I want to know how much more power I'm taking. So my buddy, I kind of got sidetracked there. The radical honesty thing is, I mean, it's good, I guess, if you're being honest, but also what kind of honesty does that person deserve if you're not obligated to them, if you're not together?
Right. And again, I think the most important question is, are they asking for honesty? Do they want to know? Some people don't want to know what you've been up to. I'm one of those people. If we were not together, go take another, you know, STD test. I don't want to hear the details of what you were up to when you were allowed to do whatever you wanted to do. I don't want to hear that. So the fact that he's like volunteering this information, I don't know if she asked for it. If she didn't, that's probably an indication she didn't want to know.
Yeah. I just don't think, like, you're not together. So what you're doing is your own business. There wasn't a deal like I'm into, I don't know. Maybe they were into the Sharon thing. I don't know, dude. Everybody's in the weird, weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't ever like consider that.
Like a Yankee swap or just sharing it around.
I mean, I'm not even saying with your current person. I'm just saying like in general, is that something that ever, when you're with someone that you really care about, do you ever like, we could work people in? Okay, no. Same. Close the doors.
I mean, there is like, okay, like, do you get to kind of go off in your own realm there and also do that stuff? Or is it just that one person? Do I get to do stuff too with other people?
Yeah. Like I'm saying, having like an open relationship, like, what do you think about people who are experimenting with open relationships.
Oh, it's coming to an end. There's no way that those things end up being Hail successful Mary. Long-term. There's the, you know, the postmodern kind of, monogamy is bad because of this. Just everything of how we got here to this point, actually the opposite is what you should be doing. And it's wrong because it's been tried and tested throughout millennia. And we got it pretty much figured out. But there's this just need to... because there's inequality and there's inequity in this society. So we got to do the opposite to get rid of that because it must be the way. It's just a binary type of situation.
Yeah. I have friends who are in open marriages. I'm really, really lucky because she's pretty much my best friend. And I have just a green light to ask her whatever I want to ask her about it.
Do I know this person?
No.
Okay.
No. She's in a different country. I'll just say that. Okay. But every time we talk, not every time, but much of the time, it kind of directs its way back to her sex life and like what the rules are. And I'm always very curious because she's married. She has two kids. She lives a very kind of like cookie cutter life, but her and her husband have like this interesting arrangement where they are able to, you know, have sexual relations with other people, but not in a sort of polyamorous way. Like they're not allowed to have other relationships, like romantic relationships. It's strictly sex. So then there becomes a lot of rules about, okay, you can't do it with anybody you work with, can't do it, you know, with anybody you're going to want to see again multiple times. You know, they're trying to shut down any sort of situation that could lead to a potential situation where it's threatening the relationship. Hmm. Now, my solution to that is closed sexual relationship. But for her and her husband, you know, they are interested in kind of doing that sort of thing because... I'm trying to remember exactly how she explained it to me, where it's just like, I don't own him. She was basically saying, I don't own him. And I want to experience other people in that way. And he wants to experience other people in that way. And why can't we make that happen if it's just a physical thing?
Well, then why did they get married? Why did they make that commitment?
Well, I think in her situation specifically, it was because of like citizenship.
Oh,
among other things. So it was more like it kind of had to happen. She's from Australia. He's from Germany. So
okay.
They live in Germany. Yeah.
All right.
So
really, but they were together. I mean, they actually do love each other.
Yes. Yes. Very much so, it seems. Like very much. And they're brutally honest. Each other, which again, she's like, even though it hurts, but she's a different kind of being. She's a little bit like me, but even more hardcore in that way, where she's just like, I want to hear the absolute brutal honesty, and I know I can handle it.
Well, that's kind of part of the I don't know if you call it a fetish or not. I'm sure some people would be offended by that, but like going and talking about it with your partner afterwards is kind of part of the deal with that stuff.
Yeah, and I've actually asked her about that specifically, and it seems like he's more interested in hearing details about her. She doesn't want to know any details about him. Mm-hmm. And what he's like. It's more just like, go do that with her. Have fun. Be home by like 5 a.m.
But he likes the details.
3 a.m. Huh?
He likes the details.
He likes the details hearing about them.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
So I have a buddy who at least at one point was kind of into that lifestyle as well. And he tried to explain it to me, and that was part of the deal. He's like, well, yes, because I found her, this was many years ago, and this was like when Tinder was around, and Tinder was like the only app, I think, at that point. It was that long ago. And I saw her on there, and it's that old kind of predicament of, do you tell your homeboy or your girl, or whatever, if you find a boyfriend on the apps, do you tell that person? So I didn't really know what to do. And then eventually I told him because we were on a cruise and we got drunk, and he was like, oh, I know. And I was like, you know, And he's like, yeah. And then he kind of explained it to me that this was part of his lifestyle. This is what he would like to send her out, have her be intimate with other men, and then she would get in the bed with him and tell him about it. And that was
like, tell him all of the details.
Yes. And I don't know if she showered first, or maybe that was part of it too. Like, I don't know. I didn't ask that much questions, but I remember just being like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. And he's like, do you understand? Like, she came home to me though. I'm like, I get that, but I don't understand.
Would they then do the things after when she came home? Like,
what?
Would they blast when she got back?
Oh,
like right away, sort of a thing where she's like freshly,
yeah,
laid out by someone else.
I want to say yes, but I'm not positive. I don't remember. That might have been part of it too. But I was so like,
why didn't you like to just like he didn't want to watch?
No,
like if I was into that, I would want to like see it. I wouldn't want to like hear about it. You know,
no, it was
like listening to a book on Audible and watching the movie. Like, I want to see it.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's another kind of thing too, right? I mean, there's people that definitely do that. The old cuck chair in the hotels, that type of stuff,
or in your bedroom.
But I mean, you know,
by a surveillance camera.
What's his name? The guy from Liberty University, the preacher's son, was into that. Remember, he shared his wife. There was a documentary on it, and he would kind of just watch and be there.
Yeah, there was someone else I know. I can't really remember who.
Yeah,
who was into that.
So, I mean, it's a pretty common deal, right? But yeah. I don't get it. I don't want that. I don't get it. So,
you know, when I was in grad school, we learned about a phenomenon called sperm competition, mm-hmm. which I guess most people, well, I feel like it was only really studied in like, well, maybe not chimps, or I don't know. It can be like arousing to some people. You know, sometimes like you think about certain activities like jumping out of a plane, where for me it would be really distressing, but other people find it really exciting, sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. Sperm competition and like essentially being the last one in after, you know, other people have maybe had sexual relations with the woman or the female that you're interested in, can be very arousing, because then it like kind of triggers this sense of competition, right? Like, you see someone else do something to your woman, and then you're like, you go harder, faster, stronger. Like, you know, it kind of
do they know?
Is this a sense of like competition? Is to this, like, get it in?
Is this under the theory that the sperm cell knows that there's another genetic competitor in there?
There's been, again, this is all like highly theorized stuff, but that like if sperm enters the same canal, say, and there's other sperm present, that the sperm from one male could kill the other. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It seems kind of silly, because I would think that the first one in, maybe not always, but you know, has more time to swim up the channel and do the thing. But yeah, some people find sperm competition or that phenomenon like pretty arousing. And that's why, at least that's been used as a reason to explain why cuckolding or swapping can be very arousing for some people. So,
yeah. Well, that's it's only a theory though. It's not proven. It's just
gravity's a theory, but yeah, I don't know. I'd probably give it like a 6.8 out of 10 in terms of like, you know, ability to explain certain phenomenon.
Well, it's definitely, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, a thing. We just don't know how real. Well, I mean, it makes sense, but there's a lot of things that make sense that aren't true either.
But it also depends, because you may find that really arousing watching a woman have sex with another guy, but you're not, because you're not emotionally attached to her. say it's like some chick in Vegas and you're just like, yeah, bang my friend, all bang me, all that's hot. But then if it's like a woman you really love,
yeah,
totally changes the dynamic and the play in your head where you're like, wait a minute, do you really like that more than me? You know what I mean? So it's not just the act. It's also like, who are the players involved?
Right.
Is it a woman that you've invested in? If it's a woman you've invested in, that's a totally different situation than a woman that you met, you know, a few hours ago at the bar. You know.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's, yeah, human beings, man. They're weird. How much of that polyamory is fashion?
That makes the least amount of sense to me, because at least with my friend's case and people like hers, it's just about sex.
Yeah.
Right? No, you're not allowed to have relationships with other people. The polyamory movement is like, you have multiple girlfriends, you have multiple boyfriends, and you love these people like equally, or, you know, have a relationship. You need to spend time with them and invest in them. And that's the sort of stuff that would drive women up the wall, because women are usually more distressed by emotional infidelity, whereas men are more distressed by sexual infidelity. So that would drive me crazy. Like, and I've had this conversation with my boyfriend before. I'm like, if you went to Japan and you wanted a special something by some chick who didn't speak English, and she came into a room, she got paid 50 yen and she left and you didn't know her name. Like, I don't know how much that would bother me. Like, I wouldn't say I would, like, yeah, woohoo. But I also like wouldn't, I don't think I would like really care. But if like, he's like, I want to date somebody else, I'd be like, no, not happening.
But it would have to be out of the, so the, what about Canada? I was going to say another country. What about if it was in Canada?
Oh, well, I would prefer, I know this sounds weird, it's really hard to connect with someone that where you don't speak the same language.
Right. So the language,
like,
is really
an extra barrier of like, you there's like, I don't want to say no compatibility, but it's like, you can't really connect with someone if you don't really know what they're saying. It's awkward. It's very transactional. If he like just went to some place and, are you looking at my yen?
He said 50 yen. He would have to pay this woman. That's 34 cents in American dollars. I just thought that was funny.
That's a steal.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, very good. Yeah, the language thing. That
would make me feel more comfortable if there was a language barrier, because then I'm like, I know you can't, like, you know, like, Chris is really into planes. What if they start talking about, what if she's like a pilot or something? You know what I mean? And then he's like, whoa, that's really cool. You were a pilot? Oh, wow. Oh, you were in the military? Oh, that's interesting. And they're able to like connect, and then there's like a sexual component. Mm-hmm. That would really freak me out. But if they can't even like communicate, and it's just like, I know how they do it in Japan, where it's, there's a picture of, say you're a there's a guy and a girl map. And if you want, you know, a mouth hug, you point to the male map crotch and then the female map mouth. And then they go, okay. And then you go into a room and someone does that for you.
Okay. Two questions though with this, because this is interesting. So if it's a language barrier, what about if it's in Canada, but it's French Canadian? They speak French.
Sure. Fine.
That's okay.
Oh. Yeah. Again, I'm not saying I would completely say no if it was an English speaking country or part of a country, but I would feel more comfortable if there was a language barrier, because then it's like, how are you connecting? How are you vibing? How are you getting to know someone if you can't even communicate?
What about if it's in Dunedin, where you live, and it's somebody who doesn't talk? They have an arrangement. They don't speak at all.
I prefer if it wasn't in my hometown.
Okay. Well, but, just so I'm just trying to test the, because language was the key there. So you would be, that would be a no.
I would prefer it not be. I mean, it's not a no. It's if he went to, like, I don't know, some weird place in like Newport Richie.
What about a I don't want to use the word on for Radio St. Pete, but what about if it was like a shack where you, you know, get
a shizak?
yeah.
I can see Carney now. I mean, I would be, oddly, I'd be more comfortable with that than, like, you know, if he went to a bar and
Yeah.
The girl. Yeah.
That's purely totally transactional. It's just like part of the
purely massage. Transactional. There's no real threat of him like getting to know her or getting emotionally attached to her. That makes me feel way more secure. And it's just like him getting his, you know, rocks off somewhere, doing something crazy with some stranger.
But you are, you. So this is interesting though, because you said it's closed off, and now it sounds like he could go to a shack now if he wanted to.
No. I don't, again, these are not the rules of my relationship. I certainly don't want him to do that, but I'm saying like forced choice, if it's between him like talking to a girl that he meets at Publix and, you know, trying to just go on a date, one date with her so they can shack up versus having something be totally transactional, I would be much more comfortable with something totally transactional. Whereas my friend, they're able to go out and like meet people. And if he goes out and he meets a girl that he likes, or she goes out and she meets a guy that she likes, they can pursue that. I would not be okay with that. Mm-hmm. So if there was like a need for like, if there was something that he was into that I just like wasn't, again, this is all within reason, but you know, I don't think I would have the biggest problem with it. But now, but our relationship as it stands now is completely closed. And I'd like to keep it that way because it just makes things simple, less complicated.
Yeah.
You know, but thought experiment, if I'm thinking about him doing that or something and he like goes, pays money, the woman doesn't speak English, does the thing and he leaves, and I knew about it, like, I don't think it would devastate me is what I'm saying.
I think you would. I think you'd be devastated.
I mean, if I knew about it beforehand, I think I would be okay.
It with you. You just have to clear it with you then and just go, this is what's happening. This is what my plan is. This is like
if he asked, he wasn't like, guess what I'm doing this weekend?
Radical honesty. Oh, so you'd have to ask you, is this okay? And then you would say, okay.
I mean, again, as it stands right now, our relationship is just a normal, monogamous, heterosexual, closed, exclusive, nobody else relationship. But if he somehow was like, look, I'm kind of wanting to try this, would that be all right? I feel like with enough communication, maybe I would be like, all right.
I learned something new about you today, Anna Hummel. I thought that's you're poly and bi.
It's just such a transactional thing that I don't think I would be that threatened by it. Now, I would think that maybe he's kind of a scumbag if that's the sort of thing that he likes. Yeah.
So it would bother you, like somebody saying that wouldn't bother you in the chats, but it would bother you, but it wouldn't necessarily be a deal breaker in your relationship.
It wouldn't devastate me in a way that I don't think I could come back from. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you were to like explain it and was like, listen, I like this and, you know, would it be cool? It'd be transactional. You know, let's just say it checks all my boxes where they don't speak English, da da da, whatever. I don't think I'd be stoked about it, but I don't think I would be devastated by it. It's not like, hey, I've like met this girl and I want to just have a one night stand with her. That would devastate me. Mm-hmm. That would be relationship ending. This, I don't think would.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you're poly and bi. That's good to know.
Non-binary, so.
And non-binary. So yeah. You check a lot of boxes here. That's good. You're a modern, you're a modern woman.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yes, I think so. You know, in Japan, it's funny, I was watching these videos where they don't even consider that cheating.
Oh, they're not doing anything over there. That's a big problem with them.
Low birth rate?
Yes.
Yeah. But for those that are blasting or that are in relationships or even if they're not in relationships and it was like more of just like people asking people on the street. They were asking like women, is this considered cheating in Japan? And they're like, no. They weren't jazzed about it. You can tell by their body language, but they're like, it's not cheating. That's how they look at it. They're like, if he just goes, pays money, does this thing and leaves, that's not cheating, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Well, they are a very special people. It only takes 50 yen, which is 34 cents for them. So that's good. All right, Anna, I got to go. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
It was a pleasure to speak with you. We'll do it again next week. Hopefully things will be less chaotic. And
all right. Yeah. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. That's it. That's the show. Thank you so much, Anna Hummel. You can catch her on the Bubble Love Sponge show, wherever that is heard. And you can catch me Saturday mornings on The Bone right now, 10 a.m. So join me there. HMBRadio.com, WillsYouTube.com, Home_Made_Man, Instagram and Twitter, and 813-693-2124 is your voicemail and text line. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Go give it 5 stars, tell a friend about it, and share it. Thank you. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Kuntz. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.